Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Yes. Hello?
Welcome to the show. Yes, sir.
Yeah. My name is David, and my memory might not be too good because I came out of a long coma about 5.5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just absolutely astonished because I haven't been around for 30 years. I am just astonished at what's happening with the climate. And I read your book, The Coming Global Superstorm.
Art Bell's book.
And it just blew my socks off of what's happening. And all on the radio or TV today has been news about the scientists saying that, you know, our climate is in terrible shape and this global warming is really happening. And I can see it's happening because I haven't been around for 30 years since 1977. And because I'm sort of like Al Gore's frog that's thrown in an already boiling pot of water. I mean, I can see the changes, and I do not understand why in this day and age people are so complacent. I listen to the radio all day, and I listen to the oracles of this generation, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, Michael Savage, and all they preach is complacency, that we don't need to worry, there's nothing wrong with the weather. Yet this stuff is happening. I don't understand this. I read your book, I think it was 2 or 3 years ago. And it blew my socks off. And the stuff is happening like in 1999. I wasn't around in 1999. I came out of the coma in 2001.
And, hold on. Well, how'd you get into a coma?
Well, I have no memory, but they told me it was a heart attack due to some kind of drug problem or drug overdose or...
Oh, my
something,
God.
But,
you don't remember anything about it before that?
No, and I think my identity was changed. But that's the reason why I have been around all these years.
Wait a minute. This is an incredible story. You have no recollection of your past life prior to this coma?
Well, I have some memory, but I can't remember who I was or what I did with my life. But I have some memory.
Well, let me ask you this. Do they know who you were?
No. No. Well, they didn't tell me when I came out of a coma because I think
Where's your family?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Where did they find you?
Well, they didn't. Nobody found me. When I came out of the coma, it was
I mean, somebody had to get you into a hospital, right?
I know, but I don't know what happened.
Did they ever tell you where they found you?
No. I think
you never asked them.
I don't think I did. I was pretty delirious when I got out of the coma.
Well, I mean, I would call them back now and say,
I don't know who they were because I lost contact with those people.
What do you mean you don't know who they were? What city did this happen in?
Well, and I came out of a coma in Tucson, but I don't think that's where I came from, someplace else.
You came out of a coma in Tucson, in a hospital?
Yeah. Well, some kind of clinic of some kind. I can't remember. I was pretty delirious, so... But the thing is, I have some residual memory. I can remember what things were like before I went into the coma, and that was like 30 years ago.
What are you doing now? What do you do now for a living?
Nothing. I'm just simply retired. I live alone. I have no friends. I have no family. I have no connection to this world.
Why? What do you do for income?
Well, a trust fund was left for me before.
By who?
I'm not too sure, but I think it was my father. Because I think he was the executor of my will, and I think he...
Now we're getting somewhere. So you had a father, obviously.
Yeah.
Ever tell you who he was?
No, well, I can't remember anything prior to what happened.
Oh, but who administers this trust fund? Some attorney?
I really don't know, because, see, what happened is that the bank who administered it came out of trust. The trust was a 20-year trust, and it came out of trust in 1997, and it was transferred to H&R Discount Brokers, and so I have no idea where it came from.
You just get a check every month or something?
No, it's like a brokerage account that's in my name, because it came out of the trust in 1997. It was just in my name, so I had access to it.
I don't want to pry, but how much is in there?
Well, it was about... about $250,000, I think. I'm not too sure when it was set up, and then it grew to about, because I listened to the other talk show, you know, what's it called, Bob Brinker's, you know, Market Timer, and he said the greatest bull market of all time occurred between 1981 and 2000, but I wasn't around though. But apparently it grew pretty much, and it came out to about $2 million, and then it kind of went down a little bit because of the bear market.
But so you're okay though financially?
Yeah, yeah. So I just live alone. I have I don't know anybody. Nobody knows me because I haven't been around all these years. And any family or friends I had, I lost contact with 30 years ago. When this
are you still in Tucson?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, that's a great.
But the important thing is, I do have some residual memory of what the weather patterns were prior to 1977 when I was still around. And I compare it to today, and it just blows my socks off.
Well, they've gotten more violent now, that's for sure.
And I read your book, The Coming Global Superstorm, and it just blew my socks off. But I read it a few years ago, and I kind of, when all this stuff was happening, you know, today, you know, the scientists and all that talking
well,
about.
Well, let me tell you what's happening with that. Look. I think most people believe global warming is happening, but it's split down the middle in terms of what's causing it, okay? You know, I subscribe that Earth is in a cycle. Man may be speeding things up. Other people believe it's generally related to mankind and what we're doing, and that's where the camp's divided. You know, here's my point. I don't care who's causing it or what has caused it. The fact is, it is happening, and we need to adjust our lives because of it, and we're not doing that. And that's the most important thing. If it were man-made and we stopped everything that was causing this, I don't think it would stop. I think it's going to continue to roll on. It's going to happen. But your story of being in a coma is absolutely incredible. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I sure can. Loud and clear.
Okay. Good, because I'm on a cell phone, and I apologize for that. I'm not at home right now. The man who called in about having been in a coma.
Yeah, forever.
I wanted to let you know something. I was NSA for a while, and I had some buddies in the CIA. The man who told me this is deceased. He passed away a few months ago. He was a friend of mine. There was a program with the CIA to repatriate Vietnam MIAs. And that was what they did. They brought them back, put them into a sleep, an induced coma for a very long time. Somehow with chemically and hypnosis, erasing memories and that kind of thing. And then they would wake up with a mysterious trust fund. And not know really who they were or anything else. And
like they would be told this guy.
I'm sorry, what?
Like this guy?
Exactly like him. I'm 99% sure that's what he was telling you.
Why would they do this to them?
Because they wanted to bring them home. They would go in with covert operations, you know, like a Chuck Norris movie.
Yeah.
And bring them out. They would manage to get them out. But this was so hush, hush, because they didn't want the American public screaming about this.
So the only way they figure they could do it is to erase the memory of the individual.
Yeah, it was a long process, and it took some years. It took years to do that, and it's still going on. This is still going on.
This is an incredible
story. There are still veterans and veteran nursing homes around the country. Mostly, this is in one place on the East Coast, and I'm sorry, my memory fails me. I don't remember the name of where it was going on originally now, or the name of the operation. It had various names, of course, but this was exactly what he was saying, was that they would wake up with a trust fund and different names and not really know who they were.
With a lot of money in it.
A hell of a lot of money. And one of the things about this was that they were told that their families were deceased. Some of them is probably true, you know, how life happens.
Sure.
But mostly that's what was going on. And anyway, I could talk with you all night, but I know you have better things to do, and I hope the man is listening, and maybe he will find the agents involved in his case and be able to find some conclusions there.
All right, that is really a staggering story.